number one doctor.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, folks, welcome back. You're with Real Talk with the number one doctors. Real Talk with the number one doctors is Dr. Harris and Dr. Gene Kennedy. Dr. Gene Kennedy out of Atlanta, Georgia, the big ATL. And Dr. Harris from your side of the country, the West Coast, California, the Golden City, the San Joaquin Valley. We're happy to be on the show again tonight. We, as we told you a couple of weeks ago, we're trying to change up the time to see if 3 o'clock is a better time than 8 o'clock at night. We were trying to do a little different change up a little bit to see how we can build a bigger listening audience. We have a quite big of a listening audience, but we want to try to reach more people. We started our radio show last night from New Light, the New Light Church of God here on the West Coast at 8 o'clock. We started that radio show last night, 2 weeks ago. Last night was our second week of starting our radio show from our church. I am the assistant pastor there. Senior pastor is Pastor Paul McCoy. I am the assistant, and we also have another assistant, Reverend Dr. Karen Crozier. And so today we just want to give a shout-out to a lot of the freedom fighters and those of our ancestors who have been fighting the struggle from day in and day out. It's been a real struggle here in America. You know, we all know history. We know that black people were brought to America as slaves, made to work against our will, from sun up to sun down. Free labor. How would you like to work for free? Well, just ask us. We'll tell you how it feels to work for free. We are still under oppression of this government here in America. We are still being oppressed as a people. We're still being demonized as people. We are not being treated equal here in America as black folk. And so, you know, I think black people, we have a right to be upset for the way we are being treated, the amount of resources that is not coming to us as a people. And so, you know, we're just like Fannie Lou Hamer. We're tired of being sick and tired. We're waiting for our other co-host, Dr. Gene Kennedy, who is going to be on the line with us soon. I was just informed here not too long ago, about 30 minutes ago, that there's going to be a protest demonstration here in Mississippi, Fresno. And one of my colleagues, trying to find the information here, she Facebooked me and told me that there will be a demonstration on Wednesday here in Fresno. I'd like to read you the press release that is going out. It says that Freddie was shot 9 times by Fresno police officers 2 weeks ago in southeast Fresno. On Friday evening, Freddie died. Freddie suffered from mental illness, and although he had a plastic handle, to a sprayer in his hand, and police knew of his mental condition, they did not bother to try to talk him into complying. During this week three people were shot, and now two of them have died within a 5-day span. Freddie's family has reached out to us to hold a press protest so that people know that the Fresno Police Department has failed to work with people with mental illness. This fact was a reason we occupied the office of the city manager last summer and demand mental intervention and not bullets to the head. Please join the family on Wednesday, September 30th, 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. in front of the Fresno Police Headquarters to bring attention to this police force that refuse to save lives when it is possible. And so here we are once again, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be doing another protest here in Mississippi, Fresno. I will be there in attendance. My church will be there. My organization will be there. And we will take live footage of this. And I'm going to see, if possible, that we can go live instead of, well, no, we can't go live because it starts at 4 and our radio show starts at 3. So we may just have to record some of the footage there. But nevertheless, again, we're here once again dealing with another police shooting here in Fresno, as well as all of the police shootings that have been occurring across the country. And that brings us to our topic today. Dr. Jean Kennedy had called me today and said that she ran into someone who wrote a book, what have you, and it was talking about policing. And, you know, I've been saying all along that policing for many years now, and I guess sometimes I sound like a broken record or something, that police came from the mindset of slavery. And if you look at our what's on the board, the verbiage. I put some verbiage, I put some links up there so that you could be able to kind of research yourself and to see what is a slave patrol. Now, intentionally today, I usually put up about maybe 15 or 20 pictures. I intentionally did not do that today. What I did put up as a picture was the police badge that says slave patrol. That's what I put up there. Four different same pictures, but four pictures, individual pictures that says slave patrol. Now, what I want you to do today is stop thinking that I'm anti-police all the time for all of my haters and non-supporters and think that I'm out to go after cops. This is a waste of my time to go after cops. But we will expose the rogue cops that are doing wrong in our community. And another thing someone brought to my attention today, they said, well, how come I was at this event today? And they said, well, how come you always saying negative things about the police? And the brother said, well, you know what? Until the good police expose the bad police, then far as I'm concerned, all of them are bad. And I had to sit back and cross my hand and look at this brother. And I said, what did you say? He said, I'm going to say the whole police department is corrupt. He said, even though there may be good officers in there, the good officers are not telling on the bad officers, so that makes them just as wrong as the bad officers. And, you know, I had to think about it. He had a good point there. Because if the good officers who are trying to do a good job, then they have an obligation not just to protect and serve the community, but to protect and serve the rights and the civil and human rights of those in the citizens in the community who are being violated by rogue cops. And so I want you to click on those links today and do some research on your own. Don't take my word for it all the time. Don't take Dr. Kennedy's word for it. Learn how to read. Learn how to do some critical thinking. Learn how to analyze and break down and then send us a message over Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook, personal Facebook, and a Facebook for our radio show. And so hit us up with these questions because we're going to go ahead and dialogue. We're going to go ahead and jump into this right now. I believe Dr. Jean Kennedy is on the line. And you're with Real Talk with the number one doctor. Real Talk with the number one doctor is Dr. Jean Kennedy out of Atlanta, Georgia, the ATL, and Dr. Harris from the West Coast, the San Joaquin Death Valley. Dr. Kennedy, welcome to your show. We're glad to have you here with us today. Tell us what's on your mind, Dr. Kennedy.
Well, greetings, everybody. Greetings to our listening audience, to the new ones. We greet you. And again, the best way of advertisement is word of mouth. Please be sure to tell someone about our Blog Talk Radio so that they can tune in to their computers to today we're inundated with everyone on a laptop or on a computer or on a tablet. Please let folks know that we're on the radio. We are not censored. That's why we're on the radio. If we had to go through a regular satellite, we would be censored in the things that we have to say. We have all the freedom in the world to say what we have to say. So that is the reason why we have chosen to use our radio show on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, I want to greet everyone. I am 3,000 miles plus away from Fresno, California, and it is wonderful that technology can bring us both together in the same space having this conversation. It's so great to hear your voice, Brother Harris, and my condolences, my brother, my condolences go out to that family. My. To Brother Freddie's family, I tell you something. If people do not wake up and smell the coffee, I don't know what else they have to do. Oh, I tell you, Brother Harris, that when I hear these sorts of situations, ladies and gentlemen, we want to let you know something. This is not an isolated situation. How are we going to help you to understand that? Those of you that listen to the show, please understand that these situations are not isolated. The same situation that's going on in Fresno, California, is happening in Stockton, it's happening in Los Angeles, is it happening in Ferguson, it's happening in South Carolina, it is happening right here in Georgia, where I live. My God, just weeks ago, months ago, we had an incident where the police came into a place, into a home, and here was a butt-naked man, a butt-naked, I mean butt-naked. You know what butt-naked means? You don't know what that means? When you take your shower tonight, look at yourself when you come out of the shower, and that's what I mean by butt-naked. Now, you look at yourself and think to yourself, where would I hide a weapon? Where in my body could I hide a weapon comfortably then? Let's put it that way, comfortably. And they go into this man's place on him, and he has no weapons on him, yet they shoot him to death. Couldn't use rubber bullets. They had to shoot him to death with real bullets. As it turns out, this man has served this country in the military. The man is suffering from post-traumatic stress, and he's off his medication. The family is saying to the police, do not shoot him. He is off his medications. He needs medical help. And yet they do not send with these police. They never send the emergency units with them. There are several organizations who do mental illness, and they keep telling these police departments, when you get these calls about someone having a stress breakdown or a mental meltdown or whatever the medical terminologies would be, depending on what's going on, give us a call so that we will meet you at the individual's home. No, the police does not do that. They have been asked to do that time and time again. There are emergency responder units, and they will not do this. They continue to go into people's homes, break into their homes, and they use that gun as if it's, I don't know what you'd want to call it. And it is a crying shame, because life, once you take life from somebody, you cannot give back life to that person. And these police officers think it's just another day in the neighborhood. I tip my hat to the person who said, until the good police can expose the bad police, we will continue to bring this to your attention. This is not police bashing. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. This is not any different than if you were working at a company and you knew that there was a bad supervisor, and you saw the way that supervisor harassed their employees. You yourself would say something about that employee, would you not? You would go to the human resources department, would you not? Would you not file a complaint against a supervisor that you saw was harassing somebody? Would you not file a complaint against a supervisor that you see is creating a hostile environment? Would you not go to an attorney if it was happening to you and file charges of discrimination or a hostile environment or a harassment environment? Then if you would do that, why can you not understand when we are telling you that there is a police department that has gone buck wild? They have gone crazy. There are no accountability systems for them. And it is because their handbooks, their training manuals, do not tell them what they're doing is wrong. If you don't have a policy that says you are wrong to shoot a butt-naked man, or you're wrong to shoot somebody who has a mental illness, or you're wrong to shoot somebody in the back who's running away from you. If the manual doesn't spell it out, they have done nothing wrong. And that is the reason why the person said, until the good police officers can expose the bad police officers, we will continue. And Reverend Harris should continue to talk about that. And he is committed to that because the Bible says, the good book says, if there is a watchman that is in the city and he stands on the wall and he sees the enemy coming and he does not shout out and say to the people inside the walls of safety, there the enemy is coming, then that watchman is good for nothing. He ought not to be a watchman. And if Reverend Harris is the watchman for Fresno City and for the nation and other watchmen and women that are around the city, including myself and others, those of us who are on radio, those of us who have our own medium, those of you that are on Twitter, those of you that are on Facebook that are speaking about the injustices, you are considered to be watchmen and women, and big ups to you, hotep towards you. And I'm telling you something, if we cannot speak with freedom because we're being nuzzled, we're being held quieted because of those of you who are afraid or those of you who want to do business as usual, you are causing the hurt to come upon your community. If you do not say something, what will happen when they come after you? What will happen when they come after your children? What will happen when they come after your neighbors, your relatives? And so we have to do something about this. So my heart is broken tonight to know that even in Fresno, where I have lived over 40 years, I know Dyer. I know many of those councilmen. I know several of those board of supervisors. I know several of those people who keep order in those areas. And tonight to know that this person was shot and is now killed, and now there has to be a vigil that has to take place. And it has to take place. It has to take place. And Reverend Harris, I tip my hat to you because your back is broad. Many people will drink with you, will eat with you, will dip in the same dish with you like they did Jesus. When Judas came to him, they will do the same to you, sir, and they will then turn around and attempt to bring your character down. It will tend, as it were, to stab you in the back. But you be strong, because if you cannot shout out and let us know what is wrong, then we will continue to do this. I am hoping that somewhere in this, Chief Dyer will begin to take a step back and say, what do we need to do? He, of all people, needs to take a seat back. He's, listen to me, his own right-handed man, he was not aware of what his own right-handed man was doing, who is now no longer his assistant chief police. He's now under house arrest. If he couldn't tell what was going on in his own household in the police department, how in God's name does he know I have an answer? But when these police officers are going out and not going by the book. So they need help. Our police officers need help. And I, Brother Harris, I'm going to turn this over to you because I was at an event today. And there was a writer. She is a deputy DA. She also ran, actually, for a position here in Georgia. This was the first time I was meeting her. And she also has a book, and she was promoting the book. Specifically, her name is Robin Shipp. Robin Shipp. Look her up on your internet. She's an author. She's an attorney. She's a former Georgia state representative. And she has done several things within the juvenile justice system and also has gone into the other criminal areas. And she writes a book called Newly Freed Slaves. I thought it was very interesting this tonight, Reverend Harris, when you talked about slaving the patrol slaves and how you spoke to that earlier this afternoon when we came, when you just opened up the show. But her book is about newly freed slaves and how the system continues to keep us in slavery, even though we don't have shackles on us, even though we're not branded with a number so that you know which plantation you came from. We are still being enslaved through the systematic system that we have. And so often, Reverend Harris, you give the history about how the police came about. This sister went on to tell us today that in the South, when the slaves became free, the newly slaves were given their freedom, the police system was designed to make sure that they did not come in and start stuff. That was why they had those police in the South, so that the newly freed slaves would not come around and try to agitate the other slaves. And so their role was to make sure those newly freed slaves did not come back to the various areas of those who are not free and to start stuff. That was what was going on in the South. That was the primary duty for these so-called policemen. They were policing their society to make sure that the newly freed slaves stayed right where they needed to be without causing agitation. In the North, the police, those who are police and considered to be police, they were responsible for the newly arriving immigrants. And that their role for that was to make sure that those immigrants did not cross over state lines. Are you hearing me, ladies and gentlemen? So the police department were given very, very specific duties. In the South, their role was to make sure that the newly freed slaves did not come back and educate and make people aware that there is life beyond slavery, that you can be free and you can stand up for your rights. They were designed to silence those newly freed slaves. And then in the North, their role was to make sure that those new arriving immigrants stayed where they needed to stay and not cross over state lines. And so when you see the police department today handling people the way they are, you can bet that they are being given assigned duties. They are doing what they are doing with the intention to have the same outcomes. You cannot have this many people being shot by the police department, and there is business as usual. Tomorrow you will wake up. You will turn on your TVs and you will hear again of another city where the police department has gone ahead and shot someone. There is no moratorium that's being given to these police departments. There is no moratorium that's being given to them. So you have to believe that it is business as usual. And why is that? Reverend Harris so often tells us about the history as to why police came about, what was their original duties, and how that fits in so well to what they're doing today. And so I, again, am pleased to be here tonight as an organizational psychologist. It makes perfect sense to me that these things are systematically done. And if we as people cannot speak in one voice, and as this brother said to you, until the good police officers can speak out and expose the bad police officers, then Reverend Harris and people like himself are going to have to shout it out from the mountaintop. Brother Harris.
Thank you, Dr. Kennedy, for words, very powerful, strong words of knowledge that you are giving our listeners. You're with Real Talk with the number one doctors. Real Talk with the number one doctors is Dr. Gene Kennedy out of Atlanta, Georgia, the ATL, and your very own Reverend Dr. Floyd E. Harris, Jr. on the West Coast in the San Joaquin Death Valley. And so, you know, Dr. Kennedy, one of the things that is interesting to me is that, you know, we did a march, Black and Brown Lives Matter march here about a month ago. And we had folks who came from all over the state of California into Fresno. And we had open mic speakers and we marched through the community. And what was interesting was our chief of police was on a radio show, and they were making reference to me brainwashing my Freedom School. I opened up a school this year called the Freedom School. And to hear how they were tilting their conversation that I was teaching my children to be anti-police and teaching my congregation to be anti-police, and I have some type of an agenda. Well, let me just set the record straight here for our Real Talk listeners across the world. I was born in 1970, which makes me probably approximately about 45 years young. I'm not going to say old, young, 45 years young. This police brutality was going on before I was born. Let me say that again. It was going on before I was even born. So I am not the problem here with this police crap that's going on in America. I am the solution, one of the ones bringing the solutions to liberate and educate my people and my community. That's why the motto of the Freedom School is we educate, motivate, energize, organize, and mobilize to take our community to a higher level. So what's important is not hating the messenger. Don't hate the messenger, okay, because I'm just a messenger from God just trying to be able to liberate my people. And so I'm not the one that's going in shooting our children in the back. I'm not the one that's going in beating them like other stocks. I'm not the one, the Rodney King, that was getting beat the hell out of in L.A. County. I'm not Mario Morrell. I wasn't the one who shot Mario Morrell. I'm not the one who shot Oscar Grant in the suburbs. I'm not the one who shot Michael Brown in the streets while his blood ran down the gutter in the middle of the street. His body lay for 5 hours with flies and stuff coming to eat his blood. I'm not the one who has started all this crap. This crap was started when black folks came from Africa to America on the soils here of America. That's when all this started, way before my time. I just happen to be one that's not intimidated and scared of a system or scared of cops or scared of anything but God. So God has given me a spirit of to be fearless. So I just want to set the record straight for all of these house Negro black people who just want to buy into the concept or whatever ethnic you are, want to buy into the concept that police is always right, until the good police officers and the police departments across the country tell on the rogue cops of the bad police officers. For I'm concerned all of you are corrupt. Because you file more complaints in the police department than we file as civilians outside the police department. So don't tell me and sit here and try to convince my people in my community that I'm the problem. No, I'm the solution, and I'll always be the solution. And I'll always teach my children, I'll always teach my congregation that you have a right to protest for what's right. Dr. King said it when he was living, and I'm saying it in 2015. You have a right to protest for what's right. When you see something wrong in your community, you have a right to complain. You have a right to protest, and do not allow no one in this country, I don't care what nationality they are, I don't care what title they have, if you feel something is wrong in your community, you protest, you march, you scream, you holler, you get pots and pans, and you bang on it until someone hears you. That's your right. On the U.S. Constitution of the United States of America. And so we're not going to allow a government or people who've been paid off by a government to make us feel that we're wrong for protesting for what's right. Our mothers don't carry babies for 9 months to have them shot in the back of the head. That's not why God put us here. And so we got to set the record straight. Now, Dr. Kennedy, we were talking about where did this conversation of police officers come from, right?
Mm-hmm.
We are at the 3:28 mark of our show, and we're going to be going into 2 minutes. And I want everyone to go back and listen to the rest of the archive, because the rest of the show is going to be very, very important for you to listen to. Now, you have to understand history to understand today. And that's a big problem that our people have. You don't know your history, so you don't know what's going on right now. You just go by what someone says. So I'm asking that you go back and listen to the rest of the show, okay? But we want to thank you for tuning in right now, Dr. Harris and Dr. Kennedy. And I'm going to go into this, where these cops come from, runaways, slave patrol. Thank you, those listening on the Internet, as we go into the archives, those who are on the line, please stay on the line. Dr. Kennedy, I intentionally did something today because I wanted to make sure that our listening audience really understood where we were coming from today. I would usually post maybe on our radios about 10 to 15 pictures, but today I didn't put 10 or 15 pictures. I put four pictures of the same picture. And what that picture is a picture of a police badge. Listen to me good. It's a police badge. We all know what a badge looks like, right? It's round and it has maybe one, two, three, four, five, six like a little star. And in the middle of this badge, it says, "Run Away Slave Patrol." Run Away Slave Patrol. Now, why would someone have a badge in the United States of America, in the United States of America, that would say Runaway Slave Patrol? Now, I'm not making this up. I want you to go do your research. I don't even want you to believe me. I want you to go to our site, click on the link, and you read it yourself and send me a message and tell me if I'm right or wrong. See, many of you don't understand Nate Turner. That's why I said you can't understand why we're going through all this police killings right now until you understand the history and the foundation of black history in America. I mean, not just in America, but coming all the way from Africa. Now, I'm just going to read you a little something here, and I'm going to go back into what I'm saying. Now, the link that I put on our site today, I couldn't post all of it, but I post a good important piece here. Okay, and it says, instead, inspired by this approach, the United States first adopted the community policing model for the purpose of organized slave patrol. Now, I didn't write this. I want you to go and research. I'm going to read this again. Instead, inspired by this approach, the United States first adopted the community policing model for the purpose of organized slave patrol. That is the first community policing model did not happen until the days of slave revolt. Nate Turner and John Brown and Dr. Kennedy just talked about this. She didn't mention Nate Turner. Maybe she did or she didn't. But Nate Turner was one of our brothers who was not scared of the plantation master. All right? It says Nate Turner and John Brown, when more and more human beings kept in forced captivity and labor, took the risk to run away from for freedom of the northern states. Nate Turner and John Brown, when more and more human beings kept forced captivity and labor, took the risk to run away for their freedom from the northern state. So it tells you right here, this is the foundation of the police department, was to catch runaway slaves. And the problem is when you had a constitution that says black people are three-fifths of a human being, which put us on the category of an animal or a cow or a horse, that we were looked at three-fifths of a human being in this country, and we're still looked upon three-fifths of a human being today in 2015. You say, well, wait a minute, Dr. Harris. How can you really say that? Well, let's look at it. Let's examine it. When you see white men going hunting for deer and bear, do you see them shooting these animals 40 and 50 times? They shot Sister Donnie's son in Stockton, California, 2 hours away from me, 48 times. They shot at him 48 times and hit him 18 times and one assault bullet in the back of the head. But yet you go hunting and you shoot a deer once. So this mindset that is in our police department is real. We're not looked upon as human beings in this country.
We're looked upon as animals. We were looked upon as animals back then, before we came across the shores of the ocean to American soil, and we looked upon as animals today. So for all of you lovers of law enforcement, understand that the foundation of policing came from slavery. And it is still happening today, Dr. Kennedy. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. Black and brown people are a dangerous species in this country. The Native Americans were. You took their land, you wiped them out, you gave them disease, you killed them off. You did the same thing with the Africans coming over here. The U.S. Constitution was not created for black people. We wasn't at the table, Dr. Kennedy, making decisions about the U.S. Constitution. The U.S. Constitution was made against us. And this is why it's important that we continue to talk about the historical piece of our history. Because if you don't know your history, you're not going to know your future. And the problem that I have with my people is even in my institution, my church, this is something that's taught 7 days a week. We don't wait till January and February. No, we're black 365 days out the year, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. But you have some black churches are embarrassed to even talk about their culture and their history. I mean, I don't understand, Dr. Kennedy, you're an organizational psychologist. I mean, I'm going to turn this back over to you, but, I mean, back in the 60s, and, you know, we used to have black BSUs in the colleges. And, I mean, and the black people were proud to have BSUs, black student unions. Well, you go to campuses today, it's not called BSU. It's called multicultural. But I don't see why did that our history have to be co-opted into other histories, other ethnic. The Hmong New Year is not going to collaborate their history with black folk. Our Latino sisters and brothers, they're not going to co-opt it. So I don't understand now why they we don't understand where this policing mentality, philosophy, gangbuster type of mentality to murder and lynch our people. This has been happening ever since Nate Turner days. And Nate Turner went throughout the South killing plantation owners to free our people. But of course, we're all going to have someone who's just going to sell us out. And Nate Turner was sold out by one of our people because he loved the enemy more than he loved himself. Dr. Kennedy, we're going to go ahead and turn it back over to you. We have about 10 minutes left, Doc. I don't know what part you want to dissect or what I said, but we hope that you pick a good, important piece of what I said for our last 10 minutes of our show.
Well, Reverend Harris, such rich information. Tonight we are really, really committed to really sharing the truth with our listening audience and so that they understand. We're trying to help them. Knowledge is power. And so we are reminding ourselves about where we come from. You know, when you think about the way this country was developed, the country itself, America, the whole America Constitution, because people talk about the Constitution, this and the Constitution, that. Let us remember one thing. This Constitution was designed to give us the freedom of religion. When the folks came to this country, when white folks came here, they were trying to get away from the kings and queens in Europe. They wanted to get away from their religion. They wanted to get away from their lifestyle. So when they left Europe and came to this country that they claimed they discovered, it was really to give them their freedom of religion. Slavery came about because it was an economic development for them. And like Sister Jordan said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. They found a good thing when they got all the slaves coming out of Africa and coming here, and it was for their economic development. And so, again, when this Constitution was being written, it wasn't written for us. We were never in their mindset. We weren't part of that. This was to preserve their rights against their own white fellow men who was ruling them in Europe, and they wanted to have make sure that they had a constitution here. So let's get that history and the foundation straight. Moving along, as Brother Harris has so identified the timelines in which things have taken place. And if you want more, you can go to school. You can sign up for a class. We're just giving you highlights for you to understand that the way the police runs their department, it is intentional. It is a pass down. Some things that this person told us today, attorney who was a former Georgia state representative, also worked in the DA's office, Sister Robin Shipp. And also the book that she wrote, by the way, was Justice While Black. I gave her the wrong name. It's called Justice While Black. Google her name and look her up. Now, she said some important things, and I want to share those and pass it along, because knowledge means nothing if you can't pass it along. Number one, we have to get back to becoming advocates for our community. She's saying, as black people, we have to get back to becoming advocates for our community. Here is an intelligent black sister that's got it going on, got her government job, is an attorney, private attorney, an author, somebody who ran for a representative's office, and yet she can stand in front of people and say, black people, we have got to get back to becoming advocates for our own communities. She also goes on to say, we have to teach our children, our kids, the history. We have to teach them the civil rights. We have to teach them to be courageous. We have got to do that if we're going to preserve our culture, our people. She goes on to say, interestingly enough, and her book points this out, she says, do you know that in the Nation of Islam, rarely is a Nation of Islam person arrested or even treated the way that other black men are treated? Think about that. Think about that for a minute. Very rarely does the police, the same police we're talking about, very rarely do they come upon a Nation of Islam person and mistreat them the way that they would treat our regular brothers and sisters. You know why that is? Because the Nation of Islam teaches their people what to know their rights. They teach them to know their rights. And so, therefore, they know if they take on a Nation of Islam person and mistreat them, they got to answer to a whole Nation of Islam. Can you tell me why it is then for the rest of us black people we haven't caught on? We're not teaching each other to know your rights? And so, again, we are setting ourselves up to be hurt, brothers and sisters. We've got to get with the program because it works. She goes on to say that we must teach we must teach the police that we are black people and that we are part of this Constitution and we stand for the Constitution, and therefore we're not going to be violated against this Constitution. We are part of this Constitution, whether they want it or not. So we have to stand up. So when we protest, when Brother Harris goes tomorrow with the group to stand on the steps of City Hall, he is saying to them, we are part of the Constitution, and it is our right to stand up for what we believe. Blacks must take back their values. We've got to take back our family members. We've got to take back and stand up for our rights. Stop being so bourgeois. At the end of the day, when you get your degree, at the end of the day, when you're driving your fancy cars, at the end of the day, when you live in your gated communities, that means nothing if we're going to still be hunted down like animals. We have got to stand up and be united.
Well, Dr. Kennedy, we're at the end of our show. We're gonna start this off tomorrow. Thank you for listening with Real Talk with the number one doctors. It's Dr. Harris, Dr. Gene Kennedy. This is getting hot, y'all. It's getting hot in the kitchen. Stay tuned tomorrow because we're going to come back. We're going to operate on injustice that's going on here in Mississippi, you know, and Atlanta, Georgia. We will try to have some family members on tomorrow or some activists to talk about the demonstration for Wednesday in front of the Fresno Police Department. That's Chief Jerry Dyer. He has to answer now again. Thank you.